Probably many of you in the audience are asking yourself, why are we talking about growing papaya in Virginia, in mid-Atlantic? And the story is, I lived and worked in Honduras and Central America for 15 years and felt in love with tropical fruits. And then I came and worked alongside Richard in Homestead. And then I continued my passion while I was there in Homestead. And then I moved on to Virginia, and then I carried on with myself and my passion. So I started growing tropical fruits, but fortunately what happened during the time that I was working in Virginia, in suburb of Richmond, my colleagues, Chris Mullin is sitting in the audience, he had developed the structure of high tunnels. Many of you are familiar probably with high tunnel structure. So he was really a good match for me with some of my crazy ideas of tropical fruits and that structure, because as many of you know, in the tropics, in the mid-Atlantic, we only have 5, 6, 7 months, mostly 8 months, this region growing season. But when I saw the structure of high tunnel, I said, well, maybe there is a possibility. So I started working, growing papaya in the high tunnel, and then for beautiful plants, they grow and they have all this wonderful green papayas, and then by the time they get to November, it just, they die. And then if I wanted to preserve them, then I had to go in there and cover them with another layer of high tunnel to increase the temperature a few degrees. And then when it gets to January and February, I had to go in there and put the heater on. Then I realized, man, it costs a lot of money to produce a mature papaya the second year. So that was the end of that crazy idea. But at the same time, I learned, well, there is a possibility. Hey, maybe we can actually grow green papaya. But the unknown circumstances was, what are we going to do with green papaya, a bunch of green papaya that we were growing? But fortunately, we came across the recipe of Thai salad, the Thai green papaya Thai salad that many of you are familiar with. And I'm in the process of, I would explain, that whole ordeal of going through that, introducing the concept, introducing the crop, and then working with our experts at our school to be able to develop that and green papaya salad and adapt it to local taste and promote. But it's been a challenge and a fun somehow. But anyway, papaya is, as many of you know, is an American fruit, mostly in Mexico. It's a great source of vitamin C. We don't know much about the nutritional value of green papaya. In fact, this year, as we are growing our green papaya, we are in the process of doing some nutritional analysis with some of our colleagues at our school to be able to really get to the bottom, because I have not been able to really find solid information about green papaya. All the information that you see mostly are mature and ripe papaya. But the somtum is the Thai word for that green papaya salad that you really are interested in. How do we do it? Just go to your local grocery store, buy a ripe papaya, use the seed and plant them. Not a secret. I like Maradol because has the Mexican good has good size, and it seemed like it's easier to grow it, because a few years ago, we tried with that Hawaiian type, and I didn't have success with it. So it's just really buying the seed, maturing it, and washing it, and planting it. And very quickly, it germinates. It probably takes a week or less than a week to be able to germinate the plant. We usually do it in January to be able to get them ready to give us enough time for the fruiting. And then the plantlet, we transplant them to a 1 gallon pot in March. And then they are ready for transplant in June. Two are high tunnel. And sometimes, I'll show you a picture, when you go inside in the high tunnel, you need to still have your jacket on, because in Virginia, still June is different than tropics and than Florida. It still could be cold. So it's really difficult to establish it that it's really quite challenging in our condition to be able to get them going in that even late May, beginning of June. You see the gentleman who is carrying them, he still has his jacket inside the high tunnel. It's cold temperature. But again, we We plant them in sometimes in June and plant them in transplant, all the row. Many of you are familiar with the high tunnel. It's really a simple structure. It doesn't have cooling and heating artificially. It just roll down the curtains to be able to cool them off, and then roll up the curtains. We close them, and we provide that extra temperature. In July, things are beginning to start rolling in July. And then there is a picture in here that I'm going to show you. What we do, we combine our papaya planting with ginger, because we heavily are growing ginger, baby ginger, called in mid-Atlantic. It has become quite actually popular. We took the idea several years ago, and it has been taken off growing baby ginger in mid-Atlantic. But we combine that with papaya because baby ginger or ginger, actually ginger plant loves that shade, 30-40% shade. The papaya plant, particularly at the beginning and mid-season, provide that beautiful shade, so it really helps our ginger. But that's in July, and then in October, what you see a massive production of foliage that is incredible, and then the flowering. Here's a story that I would share with you. Maybe some of you would be able to help us with the flowering. The flowering, several years ago when we started this flowering, every single fruit that we harvested, they were seedless. So we got really excited. I said, maybe growing papaya in the high tunnel really helps produce seedless papaya. I mean, not a good number of them, probably 90% of the plants, fruit that we had in the high tunnel were seedless papaya. And then, we are excited about that aspect of it. I gave this talk, a version of this talk, several months back to an organic growing audience. And one of the gentlemen who was sitting in there in the audience, he was very confrontational with me about the fact that these are GMO. Because, as I said, I don't have any source. I go to the market and I buy the plant. So he was arguing about the fact that these are GMO fruits, and so that is the reason they are seedless. But so that story needs to be explored further. But I didn't argue or discuss anything with him. But I said, well, that's a good view in terms of his opinion. But anyway, so that is a massive amount of papaya grown. And again, you probably see the ginger, and then you see the ginger plant somewhere. But we have a huge production of it starting by November. It's incredible, the number of green papaya that we have. But starting in September, actually, end of August, middle of August, is where we start harvesting. Green papaya salad, green papaya is being harvested. Let's see. I don't have the judge. Under that is actually where we have our ginger plots. This is a graph. It's just observational data that we started taking in toward the end of August. It's where we start harvesting an average of probably two fruits per plant. And the weight of them are equally probably 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds to less than 2 pounds on the average of each plant that we start harvesting. So what's really interesting, because the marketing of it is an issue at the moment. So it's really interesting. We have enough to be able to send it alongside of ginger to the market, so developing that market. But boy, when it comes to November, it was a huge, huge production of it. And we were really taken by surprise. What are we going to do with all this papaya? But it was probably like at one sitting we had like close to 350 plants coming from the tunnel. But the number of plants actually that we took this data, there were 25 of them. So every plant on the average produced 2 fruits per harvest at the beginning, and then it went up all the way to a total of 300 at the end. But again, when you think about papaya, we are treating it as annual crop. It comes December. Everything is like a It's like a war zone, just completely devastated. It's for somebody who have seen them as tropical, it's really upsetting to go in there and look at those beautiful plants from one week to another, just completely useless. You can't really do anything about them. Along with that market development, it's really interesting. We started going to local farmers market and did some test marketing at different markets. It just actually is really interesting. Working with some Thai restaurants to be able to promote it even further under locally grown papaya, and then close to $6 per fruit. Some of the local high-end supermarkets are asking for it, but don't put your hope, because by the end of the week they may sell 10 to 15 fruits, so it's not that they can. So I hope there are not that many of you who are thinking about going back and putting a couple of high tunnels of green papaya. It's too early, but I think it has potential. And then we are working with one of our faculties in Family Consumer Science Department to be able to really develop that concept of green papaya salad, and then just mixing it with a bunch of really herbs and nuts and flavors has done a great job. In fact, there is a really high-end supermarket in Richmond area. It's become part of their daily product. If you go in there, you could see green papaya salad. But what's really important, the challenge has been, again, just continuously being able to promote it. It's not one of those things that, you know, people don't know absolutely about green papaya. If those that know about papaya, they know that sweet, delicious Hawaiian type, if they have gone to Puerto Rico or other places, they have that experience. But telling them papaya as salad and vegetable, it doesn't go too far. So we are continuously working to be able to generate that interest among consumers in Richmond and Northern Virginia. For those of you who are interested in a green papaya salad, this is a recipe. I'll be glad to mail it to you. Thank you. Yes. I have no control over them. I don't do anything. We don't do anything. As I said, the reason when we started going, we thought the condition of the high tunnel is what creates too many female flowers. But doing anything, we don't do anything specifically to be able to reduce the male flowers. Yes.
Can you describe the taste of a green papaya?
Chris, can you help me? The taste of it is cabbage, a little bit crunchier. But if you mix it with the right flavor and right ingredient, it goes far. Chris, would you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, it's crunchy. It's not at all like a ripe. It doesn't have a whole lot of flavor.
Yes.
We have Southern Virginia. You might order just dip it in the batter and deep fry it.
I'm going to try that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Definitely. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Thank you very much.